Good morning, everybody. My name's Ian Squire. I'm from Wollongong Tafe from Painting and Decorating. The project that I've been involved with is providing e-learning solutions for the industrial protective coatings and abrasive blast industry. I'm afraid I didn't do these slides to answer the trigger questions because I couldn't find the trigger questions, so I apologise for that. So you ask me the questions afterwards and I'll try my best to answer you. Okay, so the actual training assessment methodologies, I guess I should tell you just first of all the problems that we were trying to address. Initially with this industry, there was no formal training whatsoever. They had a lot of skills shortages. There's an ageing workforce. They really find it difficult trying to attract younger generations. We were trying to come up with solutions to address that. Essentially, what we were doing, we developed a course, Certificate 3 in Engineering, Surface Finishing, or Production Systems. And what we wanted to do was to put all the theory online, on Moodle, and then within the Moodle page, there's a series of web pages. With those web pages, each web page is a topic, and then we have a series of activities. Now, each of those are based on either a PDF document, a Word document, or a PowerPoint presentation. The PowerPoint presentations, we then made them into Adobe Presenter, so we imported videos. We also put voiceovers in there as well. They all formatted in MP3 and MP4 formats, so you could play them on iPods and iPhones. And MP3 players. With the original documents, the Word documents and the PDF, we housed them onto Wiki, and all our presentations onto Wiki. And then we'd do a little blurb on each web page and then just put a link directly to Wiki. And so that was the concept we used. We've also, one of the other problems we've got within the industry as well, there's a lot of non-English speaking backgrounds and English second language students. And we found this nice little program by Yahoo, Babelfish, where you could actually translate. And we embedded that within Moodle. And you just copy and paste into Babelfish, and then it will translate it into various languages. My understanding is that the grammar isn't particularly correct straight away. But I have a friend who used Babelfish. They were buying a house in France. And The person in France that they were talking to couldn't speak English and they couldn't speak French, so everything was done over Babelfish and they got the general understanding. So it's quite an effective way of doing it. We've also, with the practical assessments, we do practical observations of a student doing a task, whether it's spray painting, abrasive blasting. We record them on a POV camera, and this is just an example of the POV camera that we use. And then any of their questions, their responses to questions that we have, they're recorded on the POV camera, and we keep that as evidence. We also, it's probably bear in mind, the unit exams that we have for the students, which are on Moodle, there's nothing stopping them sitting there and saying, oh, well, that's the answer there, and sitting there together and cheating a little bit. So to back that up, when we do the practical observations, we ask the verbal questioning directly from there. We also recorded a lot of our practical demonstrations using the POV. POV cameras are good in certain ways. I personally felt that there wasn't enough span in the view from the POV cameras, and it didn't always pick up what you wanted it to pick up. But it's, you know, it's another tool or a resource that you can use. I couldn't remember what I put on these slides anyway. So does anybody, any questions?
How much does the camera cost?
Off the top of my head, $800, $900. So in that particular camera, it's on a hard hat. There's two versions. There's one with the glasses, with a little like pair of safety glasses, with a camera in between you on the bridge of your nose, and the one that we had. We felt industrial painting, abrasive blasting. We've got the guys. We're training the guys on the Harbour Bridge. You know, Paul Hogan's. They're ex Paul Hogan's, and it's very dirty. Rough work, so we felt we needed something that was a lot more robust.
Fantastic. What about people with impaired sight for OH&S and things like that? I mean, obviously having POV glasses can also obscure the clarity of things. So how did that work? Does it work with contact lenses or people's glasses?
I'd be honest, I don't know about that.
The reason I ask is because I'm trying to do it and I'm blind. So, but, yeah, well, that's fantastic. So the impact of your project thus far, how did that go?
Thus far, we've got a trial group going through at the moment. Bearing in mind a lot of these, the students that we have, there's low literacy levels as well. So we've tried to make it as visually and as audibly enticing as possible. The other thing that we're looking at doing, and I haven't actually done yet, is getting some podcasts done and embedding them.
Fantastic.
Within the Moodle side as well. And I guess that's a double-edged sword. One, it addresses the literacy problems. Also, you can use the podcast for if you've got English as second language, so you can get translators and do podcasts that way. And I guess I'm trying to think now, the third reason for doing podcasts, to address the get the younger generation in. Everybody uses sort of Generation Y use MP3 players, iPods, that type of thing. So try and use the technology that they're actually using as well.
I guess what RTOs want to hear today is what issues did it address that you currently were doing, and what has it actually benefited, if any, and I'm sure what benefits has it done, and where to now? Because what's the recommendation and advice for other RTOs embedding e-learning of this type? Because it sounds absolutely fantastic.
I guess if you were on a project like this, the first thing is to get the right people in place, mm-hmm. and you've got to get people that are totally committed to it. I've been talking, and we've used Adobe Connect,
yep.
And we've used that as a tool to do our developing as well. And so we've got project team up in Newcastle. A lot of the videos were done yep. up in Newcastle within industry up there. And then just trying to facilitate everything and put everything together up in Newcastle. Mm. They were in Newcastle, I was down in Wollongong, and we were just talking, you know, web conferencing over Adobe Connect, and that was quite a useful tool when it works.
Well, you certainly covered all bases and multimedia and connectivity.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
been fantastic. Anything from the audience? Yes.
I just want to ask, when you're using POV cameras for assessment, did you have to develop protocols so that the assessment was consistent across all students?
Yeah, we generally say to the students to confirm their name and that they're doing an assessment. And then, with that assessment, we'd have an observation checklist as well, so we'd just go through that, and that's just based from the unit guide, and we just go through each element there. With the questions, we have a pool of questions, and we just randomly pick questions to ask the student. So, you know, two students may get different questions. So we try and make it authentic like that, I guess.
Anybody else? Questions?
Sorry.
Just for the recording reasons.
So you have all of the, I suppose, information to answer those questions up on
we have site. Them already. They're already we've just got a Word document with that. The other thing that we're looking at maybe is putting them on a Palm Pilot or something like that.
But what you've got currently is downloadable, like the student can take it off the wiki or wherever you have it, or is that what you said you're going to podcast up all of that, so it's not in like a book form at the moment?
Oh, the information,
yes.
All the theory
yeah.
content.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, no, that's all on. We started off on a Word document or a PDF or a PowerPoint presentation.
Mm.
All those originals are loaded onto the wiki site. The PowerPoint presentations are converted into Adobe Presenter with audio and video imported into there. Those particular presentations, which are interactive, we then put them. We put a link from Moodle to Wiki, so they'll open up automatically. A lot of them, if they're notes as well, we do have a book of notes which they use as well, and we'll say to them, now read through this, now go to Module 8, page, whatever, for those notes. The actual Word documents for each activity, and you can have anything from a couple of pages to 18 pages. We then just copy and paste them into Moodle, into the web pages, and I just insert photographs from Flickr or just put links as well out to various websites as well. So
okay,
yeah.
So for the low level of literacy that you said you had within your group,
yeah,
how did they find using this technology? They have to have
initially, like well, with the first topic they do, and it's a mandatory competency, is interact with computer technology. The way we got over that, we used to try and get the groups so you've got some people who are highly computer literate, some people who aren't, have never used a computer whatsoever, and you just buddy them up together. And that initial session is face-to-face with myself. We've also... two of the companies down in Wollongong, they've got computers in their smoko rooms. So we go in there, and I just put on their favourites the two websites, the Wiki and the Moodle. As long as they know their username and their login, and you have to make sure they write them down as well. And then also a lot of the presentations to save them on downloading time. To save them on downloading time, we just put the hard copies on their hard. On the actual computer.
And were they apprentices?
There's no apprenticeship in there, it's traineeships. Yeah.
Thanks, Ian. Well, I think we'll give a round of applause for Illawarra.
Thank you.
Well done. Okay, next we have veterinary nursing, so I'll just get them ready. And all these presentations are on the website, so you can always get the contact details to follow up. And I do hope that in the next 2 days that you do follow up with these wonderful presentations and projects and get some contacts from them. Okay, over to you.
How are you? Laura's figure came jumping in on me, so she's managing the technology while I do the talking, obviously. The project that that we're involved in was the Diploma in Veterinary Nursing, and the reason why we put in a submission for funding was because in 2004 they changed the training package for the diploma, and it became a compulsory requirement that vet nurses had to be working in or have access to a specialist practice to become competent. And I don't know if you're aware of it, but in New South Wales in particular, there's a very limited number of specialist practices, which precluded all our country vet nurses and nurses in larger practices in the city from actually doing a diploma. Because of the huge number of Cert 4 vet nurses that we've had coming through our sections, and the feedback from them was that they wanted a higher qualification to get the recognition for the level of skill that they had, we had to find a way to actually make the diploma available to them. So what we did... You're right there. What we needed to do was look at the fact that many of them were in isolation and couldn't get time off work to attend the campus, so we had to look at technology as a method of delivering the course. But to meet the training package requirement of access to a specialist practice, we had to find an industry partner that was prepared to actually deliver the practical side of the course. So when we were looking at the technology, we actually tested quite a range of different technologies to come up with the ones that were most suitable for this group of students, and we had to also bear in mind the availability of bandwidth for people in isolated areas, so we had to sort of minimise the amount of information that we put onto the Moodle site, because a lot of times it would freeze if we had too many files up there. So we got our Moodle webpage, which obviously is our communication tool. Then we listed a range of industry-related websites and internet resources that they could access as well, because remember, they're at diploma level, so they should be self-managing their own research. We also had an Institute Wiki page, which is where we store the large files that we have that were too big to actually run in Moodle. We also backed it up with CD resources and DVDs, because we actually our industry partner was kind enough to provide us with an hour-long video clip, which we then loaded into Moodle, and it froze every time we opened it. So, of course, we had to store things like that on a CD, and you also have to realise, too, that these vet nurses, they can stop and start their CD or their DVD at home in their own time and not running it through their internet. The other thing also was that we set up a virtual classroom, and I know that the choice generally is to use Adobe Connect, but we found that this used too much bandwidth and particularly for people in isolated locations. So we sucked up to our friend Chris Richter, who had a little program there that we trialled out west for our TVET students that lived at Bogabilla and Gaduga and Lightning Ridge and places like that, and it actually worked. And what it did was, it gave us the opportunity to actually have the web camera showing either the class facilitator or video footage, but the students interacted via a chat. So we had a record of who was logged on and who was asking questions and who was answering questions. And particularly at diploma level, you can pose quite complex questions and people have got the opportunity to either answer it on that, within that classroom or through a forum. Okay, and the other thing was too that at that diploma level they've really got to access a range of very complicated surgical case studies, and so we have the opportunity to put up, post up case studies and then ask a range of questions that they can then, go back and research and come back to us and answer. So that was the technology. We tried to make it as simple as possible, kept the navigation quite simple. One of the things that we had to look at was Certificate 4 is actually embedded in the diploma, but it's also a requirement. So basically we had to offer RPL for existing nurses that had been in industry for a long time that didn't have that particular qualification but certainly met the requirements of it. So the RPL is actually included in there as well. And we also had a lot of revision work in there because, they might have been in industry for a long time and they did their cert 4-15 years ago. So they might be a bit rusty on their anatomy fears or, OH&S or the latest radiography requirements. So they've got the opportunity to actually self-assess themselves prior to starting the diploma so that they knew that they were ready to continue. We're right to go. Next slide. See, it's just keeping me in mind too. Industry partner. The industry partner we chose obviously had to be a specialist practice. So we went with somebody that we had a lot of confidence in because we'd worked with them previously. It was actually set up as a teaching hospital already and it had a specialist anaesthetist and a specialist surgeon there. But they could provide us with a huge range of cases. And in fact, these guys had some fantastic resources that they'd already developed themselves because they were running short courses for other vets. So we tapped into that resource. And what we did was we worked out with them and we've got a memorandum of understanding set up, and what's happening is we're actually paying them per student to take our students in there on for their practice. So that gives the students the greatest flexibility to attend the workplace. So instead of saying, these are your compulsory prac weeks, you've got to turn up, between the 5th of January and the 17th of January, it's like book in and make an appointment for when you're going to spend your weeks in the referral practice, so it fits into your workplace. And also it made it easier for South Tamworth Animal Hospital to manage the number of students they had there at any given time so that they got, the best one-on-one or very small groups so that they got the maximum benefit out of being there. We also got them to obviously manage the on-the-job assessments, but of course they're not an RPO, so we've actually enlisted a part-time teacher who lives at Tamworth, and she's a vet surgeon as well, so she's actually going to assess in conjunction with them. That's not me going off. Okay. What else do we need to know? And that's how we sort of overcome the problem of having our students in the workplace and being competent. Okay. The outcomes for all stakeholders. Well, obviously, the project team members got a huge amount out of the project. Number one is I'm certainly an old Janison Toolbox person, and I had to learn a whole new program, which is Moodle. And when I was learning Moodle, the rest of the section were learning Moodle as well. And I'd be ringing up poor Steve Parker and asking stupid questions all the time and, wondering where all the buttons were that used to be on Janison that aren't on Moodle. But it's a very simple program, and I actually really, really thought it was quite good for a communication tool. Industry obviously learned something new as well. They sort of learned a lot about complying with training package requirements and how complicated the assessment process is and the various methods of having to validate assessments. And so they're involved in actually developing the assessments with us because we felt that if the specialists were actually involved in developing the assessment process, then that would give more credibility to our graduates as well because they're really being assessed at that level, not at what we think is what they should be doing, but industry is saying to us this is what they should be doing. The students themselves, obviously, are getting access to a course that they wouldn't have been able to access any other way. And also, it's quite difficult to get into a referral practice. And so, you know, if you've actually got the diploma, you've got more chance of getting in, whereas they're looking at it the wrong way and saying you must be in a referral practice to get the diploma. It makes no sense. So we've turned it around. Obviously, the RTO and the teaching section. I've actually used Moodle now and encouraged all my Cert 4 teachers to put all their resources up into Moodle and into the wiki and to do all their lesson plans that way so that they don't have to, you know, there's no repetition. They've done their lesson plans once. They've got all their classes planned for the year along with the timetable. Very simple stuff now. And they can go in there and they can modify anything or make changes or whatever. If a teacher's away sick, they can give their lesson to another teacher because it's already set up there, ready to go. So that's the most important thing. Obviously, one of the benefits for the RTO is that if we're one of the very few campuses that offers a diploma, we're going to make some money out of it. Well, it's going to increase our business. So that's, you know, one of the main benefits as well.
Fantastic. I just love the idea that you've created something even easier for you to succession planning and everything else. It's marvellous. And that's the sort of model that e-learning, embedding e-learning does. You go on a focus and you've invented something else along the way that you hadn't actually decided that you were going to do. But that's exactly what e-learning does. And it gives you more time for creativity as well. Just one question, and I'm sure the audience is going to have a few questions for you as well, because it's an absolutely fantastic model that you've got there. But how did the industry react for the first time working with something like that with you guys?
Oh, look, they were really excited because these guys have been doing training in-house for quite some time, and it opened their eyes to the possibility of commercial courses and increasing their income, because they were already in a niche market of, you know, providing training for other vets. And in fact, they were getting medical students as well. And they've now, you know, they can use Moodle themselves. And in fact, they worked in conjunction with Chris Richter, who's helping them develop their resources. So, and they're getting you actually marketing them, so they're going to have, you know, like a shopping trolley, and people can go on there and actually buy resources and pay for them over the net. So that's going to increase their income. So they're happy with that. And of course, they're getting the monetary, you know, return from us paying them to have our students there.
And the motivational aspect for the students?
Oh, look, the students are so excited. We're just inundated with phone calls from people going, please tell us when the diploma is going to run. You know, I've got three students ready to go. We also send out a promo to industry, and along with that promo, we send out questionnaires asking things like, you know, how many staff have you got on? Would they be prepared to do the diploma? And the response was overwhelming. It's like industry really wants this course.
That's great. Any questions?
Hi, congratulations. It looks like it's working beautifully, and I have a couple of technical questions, if I may. I'm just wondering how, when you say that Moodle fell over with the resources put into it, how big were they when they started to fall, when the platform started to fall over, and was it an internet issue or a platform issue?
I'm really green to Moodle, but I've been told that Moodle was really designed as a communication tool, not a repository for the resources,
right.
And that's why we need to store them in the wiki with a link from the wiki to the Moodle.
Yep.
And what's happened, I mean, we had a 60-minute video clip up on Moodle, like that's a huge file.
Sure, sure. And was that streaming, or was it meant to download? What were you doing with it?
Like, it's massive.
Okay, so you weren't streaming it from a streaming server?
No.
Okay.
No, in fact, we haven't actually trialled that.
That would be why it's falling over. Yeah.
That's why. And that's what we're saying. We just sort of, because we had such a short amount of time to get the project over and done, we just actually slammed everything up into Moodle, and, you know, we're waiting for the IT management to move it across for us and to sort it all out so that it's actually, you know, technically working properly and not just jammed in there.
Okay, and does the industry partner have access to Moodle, the site as well?
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
Yep.
Great, thank you.
Anybody else?
Yes. I do ask you to speak right on top of that. Thanks, Connor.
This isn't actually a technology question, but I'm really interested in how you got the buy-in from your industry partner, how you sourced that person, how did you go about finding that industry person?
Well, can I say I've already had a previous relationship with them, but I certainly, you know, took a fair bit of negotiation because they wanted to know what was in it for them. And also, they were actually seriously thinking about becoming a private RTO, and I sort of pointed out to them the benefits of being in partnership with an existing RTO, and how, you know, we've had the experience of actually, you know, enrolling students, managing students, and all the admin side, which they would never find time to do. So we really wanted them to concentrate on the technical side of it, because that's their area of expertise. But I do have to say that that some of the referral practices down in the Illawarra have heard what we're doing with South Tamworth and contacted them and said, you know, we're really interested to become, you know, come on board with you as well. So if you're looking for a partner in this area.
So was Tamworth the only industry person that you approached to partner with this?
Well, only for the purpose of the project.
Okay.
We wanted to prove that the actual pilot would work.
So you didn't have to shortlist or had to go out and find other people, your first contact.
Yeah, it was just basically, you know,
lucky.
Somebody you know can definitely, you know, be part of the project
plan. Fantastic. Any more questions? Well, yes, Mark, go ahead.
Before you mentioned your virtual classroom tool and used a low bandwidth, but you didn't actually tell us what it was. Is it a secret or?
Put on the spot now, Mark.
It's just I have limited knowledge. All I know is that it's a program that I previously used with great success, and so I went back and said, Chris, can I use it again, please? And he said yes. So you know, if you want to speak to Chris, I know it's not recommended, I don't think, by the Institute. But just for the purpose of this.
I'm outside of the Institute.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a blow-in.
No, it was just that we sort of felt that we didn't want the students all chit-chatting amongst themselves. Yeah. I know there's community learning and there's community learning, but at this level in particular, you really want them to focus on, they've got a limited amount of time, you want them to focus on the case studies that we're putting up and just, you know, if they want to socialise outside of that, they can go into the chat room or whatever. But basically, when we're running a lesson, we can pre-record it as well, so they can go and visit it at a later time, which is another benefit of this program.
Fantastic. Any more questions? Well, a round of applause. Well done. You're great advocates for industry, TAFE partnership there. Fantastic. Our next presenter is Nursery. So do you want to get your PowerPoint? We're just going to spend about 1 minute trying to get their presentation up. So.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Oh, still morning. We've got a different sort of nursing situation here, where the nursery industry we're interacting with. We've had a very long-term working relationship between the Northern City Institute, Dryde College, and the nursery industry. We noticed in recent years that the apprentices that used to come to TAFE for face-to-face teaching weren't appearing anymore. We were getting less and less. So I went out to industry and met with them on a regular basis to try and find out what their needs were and why they weren't going to TAFE anymore or in much reduced numbers. And it really came about to two or three things. One, the move away from Sydney of the industry itself because of land values. The other was that the employers were less happy to send people to TAFE for a full day out of a week. I didn't want to do it anymore. And I proposed that we might be able to do some teaching on the job. So in 2005, 2006, we actually taught out of the nursery in northwest Sydney, Alpine Nursery, a big production nursery, and we taught on site there. And from that, developed that they would like to look at encouraging the student to perhaps get involved with some learning on their own outside of the working hours, and that we would assess them on the job after they've done some online learning as well. So that's really where the project came from. And of course, the drought that we've been through in recent years was another factor that caused grief in the numbers of apprentices that are coming through. So Mark and I and the rest of our team have worked together to produce one unit of competence out of the Cert 3 in nursery, and it's apprenticeship course. And the idea is to build this as a platform for moving future units over and incorporating those into the structure. And we used a product called Sakai. Some people say Saki, I'm not sure which is the right pronunciation. We've used PowerPoints, videos, audio, and of course text. And we also use the power of Sakai to assess in the form of questions and answers and those sorts of things.
And the best thing about that is that it marks it itself. so the teachers and that just get the results. So had some advantages.
The industry were very pleased with that. We were able to demonstrate it to them, and the feedback was excellent. We then also tried it out with some students that had already done the unit in class. They were actually enrolled in the TAFE, and we ran it past them and had a good feedback from that session. But I'll let Mark tell you a little bit about the process and how it happened.
Thank you, Ross. This is what the students actually see. This is the Sarkai on the website, so I did a screen capture to show you. So on this side here, it deals with assessments and their learning, and they click on that and they get to where they need to go. It's all user-friendly, and it took a long time, and I just wanted to thank all the people from the support team that were able to help us with the technical details. And these are all the different learning units. There were a whole lot, and they work through basically from people who don't know how to use a computer at all. They follow it step by step so they can go right through, learn all the underpinning knowledge, and then get assessed. And then the practical will be done in the workplace. So they click on each one of these units along the side. At the beginning, they can download all the underpinning knowledge, so they can print it off, so they actually have a hard copy if they wish. And then after that, they can go through and have a look at each of the elements. There's a video, so they can stop, and it's all done online. It all streams. They're all at different lengths. There's about 7 videos that were made, and it's all. And I'll show you some of those in a minute. So this is what it looks like when they click on the resources. And as you can see down here, this is the learner guide, which they can print off. Then the next one is an overview. So if they already deem that they understand it all, they can just click on that, goes one slide, one PowerPoint on that whole topic, and then they move on to either a self-assessment. All their self-assessments were also done, so they can work through at their own pace. And this is an example of one of the videos. This is obviously the front of it, but it's on soil compaction, and we had a teacher on site. So what was great about it is we did it with the class involved at the same time, and they were an excellent class because they asked all the questions that students online would like to ask. The class did it. The only thing that we had to do is to get the students to fill out a privacy thing that they... we could then show it online. And then, of course, we did other forms of assessment like crosswords and other enjoyable things. And this is the example of the underpinning knowledge test. So this is multiple choice, but you can do mix and match. And they choose the right one, and then they submit it. And that the computer marks it. So it's really good for all the teachers as well. So would you like to see what the students thought of it? Yeah, so they really enjoyed it, and it was really good. And in fact, the because they were face-to-face students, they want to use the videos on a CD so they can go back and then they can review it and do all the practical, because the videos show all the practical skills that they will need to do to demonstrate their competency. Any questions?
What are you using, Sakai? Yes, Connie Mirrors.
So when you did the assessments, you said they can work through at a self-paced. Is there anything stopping them from going to the second last one and sort of skipping the first one or two, or do they have to work through before they can move on?
Yeah, this is to cover the underpinning knowledge, and what they do with the theory there, they have 2 attempts at it, and it's all marked, so they get feedback with that anyway. And basically, it's up to them to do all the learning, and if they have any problems, they can go back and then they can redo those particular units. So it's designed for people who, A, already think they already know all the underpinning knowledge and they can move at their own pace, or those that have no underpinning knowledge, they can work through it step by step. So that's up to them. They make the choice, as we heard this morning.
They do have to complete all the questions to successfully complete. Can't just go to the end question and submit and hope for the best, because
the
guy wants all of them answered.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, it sounds good. Thank you.
Yes. Bearing in mind that at that particular level, there might be students with literacy problems. Can they actually hear the questions as well? Are they audio or just written?
It's written, but then that's where in Sakai you would have opportunities. On the side of it, there are chats and forums where they can then submit that. But if they're working in the industry, and that's where this is aimed at, for people actually working in the industry, we work with the employer and they already know the quality of their students and where they may have those issues, and that's dealt with contact with the teacher at the start.
So are you saying that the employers actually read the questions to them so that they can answer them?
Well, that has to be addressed. It's part of the things that we need to work with. So it's one of the things we could talk about.
Yeah, the idea was to build a package rather than content as well at this point in time. But when we went back to industry, we felt, well, we've just got a package there, a shell, where you go to a section that says, insert text here. It was hardly a point, so we had to felt we had to develop the resources up as well to go into it. And of course, being TAFE loaded up with wonderful equipment and so on, Mark actually had to do the filming on his own personal little handheld camera. That's why it's a bit grainy in that. So those resources will be built and developed into it later on, and they will improve. But you just got to go with what you've got at the time.
You've done a sterling job too. Here we go, Meredith. Anybody else? What version was that Sakai? Is that Sakai 3 or 2?
Oh, it's the latest one.
It's supposed to be quite good.
Yeah, it is.
Did you use the PLE of that tool, the personal learning environment, the e-portfolio section of that?
Yeah, they're learning on how to do that. We've had a good support with Kelly Pickering. She's been doing a lot of work and developing the things to help. Because it's, we found that one of the limitations with putting a whole unit of competency on was the people available to actually do it, and it was sort of the goalposts just kept moving. So first of all, they said, no, we only want you to do an outline, and then they said, oh, now we want you to put content, and then they said, well, once you've got content, we want you to do the assessment. Now that you've got the assessment, we'd like you to have a student to come and actually go through it to give us a survey. So I found the goalposts kept moving, and we're amazed at what we've actually completed. It's actually really quite amazing.
How many students did go through? How many students did you have?
We have 4 students that had a look at the site and made comments on it, but they haven't actually gone through it because they had already done the course face-to-face, so there was no need for them to actually do that. But they worked their way around the site and they made those comments.
Okay. Recommendations to other RTOs, advice, what you've done?
It takes an awful long time to get it done. It takes a lot of thinking through from the student's point of view about the student, when they actually see these things online, you've got to put yourself into their shoes to see how do they go through it step by step to get the desired outcome of what you want them to achieve. And, of course, work with the employers to make sure it's what their needs are as well. But the good thing about this is it allows us to work with new people that are outside our footprint of the institute. So we basically could go statewide, which actually increases our student numbers. So that's what we're looking at.
Fantastic. And that's all about customising. Yes, go ahead.
Is Sakai downloadable onto mobile phones and iPods?
Yeah, it has all those facilities, yes. It's what our institute has decided. That's the platform that we are going to use in the North Sydney Institute.
And that's with Jewell Island, is that right? Mm. Yeah, fantastic. Any others? Well, because we have one presenter that didn't unfortunately turn up, we actually do have another 10 minutes. So all those others that have presented and you've had another idea of questions you might like to ask, the nursery and the vet and the painting and coating, please go ahead. Otherwise, you have an early mark. Get down to the cakes and dinner and lunch early. Thank you very much. That's fantastic, boys. Well done. Round of applause.